What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Between the Tackles. We are at episode 52. Hard to believe we have made it 52 episodes on this podcast. And if you've listened to everyone, thank you for putting up with my shitty takes. As always, I'm Burge. I'm back. We're back after missing a week off here with my... I don't even know what I want to describe you as today, but my good pal, I'm going to be nice. My good pal, one of my oldest buds, Hogan, how are you doing today?
I'm there. I'm here, I guess I should say, is the best way I can put it. Just life's been crazy lately. My sleep schedule's all out of whack with different hours and whatnot, but football does not miss a beat. We're back on here talking some NFL action. Let's get to it, my friend.
So pumped. As obviously, there's only two of us here this week. Our good pal, Manish, was unable to make the recording this week, so we send our best to him. We'll look forward to having him back next week. It's been an eventful 2 weeks for the Patriots. This is going to be a very Patriots-heavy pod for all you out there. It's been a very eventful week, ups and downs for this New England Patriots squad, despite being in last place of the AFC East. I want to start off talking about the game from 2 weeks ago. And that was I don't want to call it highly anticipated matchup, but it was a anticipated matchup facing off two of the top three quarterbacks in this past year's NFL draft. That is Caleb Williams' Chicago Bears hosted Drake May's Patriots this year. The Patriots end up walking away from that one, winning 19-3. This game surprised me on a couple of different levels. I'll just say the obvious one was the way the performance of the Patriots defense sacking Caleb Williams. I believe it was 9 times in this game. It seemed like Caleb Williams just had no time to throw the ball. And let's just say that their offense was ineffective, as shown by the fact that they only scored 3 points in this game. On the flip side, the Patriots, they did enough to win offensively. That kind of carried right off the defense. I mean, after the game, Drake May came out applauding the defense. You know, come out, have a round of applause for the defense. I think Scott Zolak was the only one who actually clapped in the media pool in front of Drake May. But I thought that was a great thing for him to do. You hear, you know, if you listen to the talk radio around here, some of them are like, oh, I hated that. It was such a disgusting thing. But me, I think that's a great display of leadership, immediately deflecting this victory to the defense, as he should have, because they were the absolute stars of this game. I, you know, offensively speaking for the Patriots, in my opinion, Drake May still had one of his rookie bad decisions that resulted in an interception, which we all knew was going to happen this year. I'm taking the good with that bad all day. That's an easily correctable thing for a young quarterback. You know, I think for me, the biggest thing that stood out to me in this game, and then I'll defer to you, Hogan, I believe it was the end of the half when they drove down the field to kick a field goal right at like the end of the half, like 1 second left. And the last play that was made to basically put them in a comfortable range to make that kick in a very windy stadium. Drake May, I think, hit Keyshawn Booty over the middle with an absolute perfect throw, right in stride, got it right there. But the most impressive part was that there was calm and poise of rushing everybody up to that line of scrimmage with 4, 3, 2 seconds left, spiking the ball with 1 second, having everybody on the same page, lining up, getting that spike down, and even drawing a 5-yard penalty because one of the defenders on the Chicago Bears didn't get back quick enough and get onside before they spiked the ball. So for me, that was like, okay, this kid's got it. He's in command of this offense. They are following him. And, you know, I am really excited to see what the future brings. What were your thoughts on this one here, Hogan?
No, for sure. May is slowly progressing each week. He's coming out and he's showing that even though he's a rookie, he is proving that he's already a leader of this team, and he's making decisions that you don't see young quarterbacks. You don't see quarterbacks that have been in the league for 2 or 3 years making, where he's making the progressions. He's doing the smart thing where he's got to tuck and run if he has to. He's not throwing to guys just because he's told to throw to them. I mean, he doesn't have a favorite target. He doesn't have a favorite receiver. If you look at the stat line across the last few weeks, and even more than that, he doesn't have, there's nobody that jumps out at you across the stat lines that's like, oh, you know, Hunter Henry's gotten 50 catches since May's become the starter. Kendrick Bourne's not the leading receiver every week. I mean, Kendrick Bourne was a leading receiver this past week against the Rams. He didn't have a catch against Chicago, I'm pretty sure. I think he got benched. That was the big thing about that. So
he played one play.
So that's what I'm saying is I think it's almost advantageous for Drake May at this point, where he doesn't have a superstar receiver. He doesn't have the guys across the board that, you know, jump out at you to be like, okay, these guys are perennial Pro Bowlers, or your Randy Moss, your Calvin Johnson, your Justin Jefferson type player, where he's not forced to throw to somebody, a diva that needs the ball. He's distributing it where it's, if the guy's open and he can make the play, he's throwing it to him. And And again, I'm not comparing him to Tom Brady, but that's, you know, shades of what Brady did early in Brady's career, where he had guys like David Givens, David Patton, Daniel Graham. I mean, Christian Fourier, no name guys, but he got the ball to who was open. And you see that awesome progression that he's doing. On the flip side of that, though, I look at the Chicago Bears as just being in such an inept organization. It is. I mean, yeah, we can sit there and we can clap for the defense on the Patriots side. We can say that May played well enough and everything like that. But at the end of the day, the fact that the Bears have four wins is a mind-boggling to me, because they just cannot figure their crap out. I mean, they've shown time and time again that they have the star power. They have Keenan Allen. They have Adunze. They have DJ Moore. They have DeAndre Swift. They have all these guys that can make so many plays. And Caleb Williams, I go back to my pre-draft grade him. He's a little bitch. I'm going to say it, because you know what? At the end of the day, he can't make the plays. He's not doing what he needs to do. And it just makes me laugh even harder that this past week that what happened to them against Green Bay was hilarious, the way that game ended there. Everybody's, oh, game-winning drive there, and they get the field goal gets blocked. Nope.
The reactions to that, to the, you know, the fan reactions, or you watch like Big Cat from Barstool, you just see them, and it's just like, oh, they're cursed. That organization is cursed.
It's just at the end of the day, like I said, they think that they hit gold with everything that they do. And granted, what they've been able to pull off organizationally in the trades in the offseason for what they did to swindle Carolina and everything like that, yeah, absolutely, on paper it's been great, but it has not led to any type of sustained success on the field. And that is just abysmal to see for that organization, where they've just been a laughing stock for so long at this point. So no hearts broken over here seeing us win the game. I mean, again, I wish we had a better draft pick stock where we're at right now. I mean, the season's far from over, so we'll see what happens going forward. But this game was more for me the ineptitude of the Bears than it was really the high success of the Patriots. But let's use that to leapfrog into this past week's game, where I'll talk about that a little bit and then throw it to you, where Patriots took on the LA Rams this past weekend. And unfortunately, the Rams won the game 28-22. It seemed like it was a lot closer than it actually was for a good chunk of the game. This was kind of a little bit of a back and forth, but it always felt like the Rams were kind of in the driver's seat up until the end there, where the Patriots actually had a chance to win the game at the end. They could have had a game-winning drive, but unfortunately, Drake May threw a late-game interception that put a grounding halt to all that. But he did his best to outduel Matthew Stafford there. Matthew Stafford just absolutely picked apart the pass defense of the Patriots. Essentially, whoever was not being covered by Christian Gonzalez went off for on a field day. Puka and Kupp both over 100 yards. Kupp two touchdowns, Puka one touchdown. I mean, the biggest problem with this Patriots defense that I'm just realizing more so than anything right now is if you do not get a complimentary corner to help out Christian Gonzalez, any team with two decent receivers is going to rip this defense apart, because Marcus Jones has absolutely been shredded the last few games there. And Jonathan Jones, even though he did have the nice breakup on Puka towards the end there that got us the ball back, he is not the caliber player that he used to be, where I see this defense struggling more and more. If they can't stop the run, which again, they didn't do a great job against the run against Kyren Williams. But again, when you got Matthew Stafford, an established quarterback who can do what he can do to throw to guys like Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua, you don't have to worry about that stuff at the end of the day. So they did their best there defensively. This was a kind of a setback game for them, I think, for the Patriots. The Rams are who we thought they were. I mean, they're a decent team when they're fully healthy and they're getting healthy at the right time. But the fact that the Patriots were in the game at the end gives me a little more excitement about the future, because, again, it shows me what Drake May is able to do. Because I think if this is a team led by Jacoby Brissett, that's not happening at the end there. They're not even in that game if Jacoby Brissett is the one under center. So Drake May is definitely on the right path going forward. This defense really needs to figure out its identity and figure out what they need to do fast. So, Burge, I'm going to throw it to you and see what your thoughts are from the Rams game this past weekend. And Burgess is muted. He doesn't want to talk to me right now.
That's because I got my little cold. I'm still fighting over here. I don't want all the listeners to hear about it. You hit the nail on the head. Okay, when you're talking about Christian Gonzalez and who was not covered by him, they didn't move him off the boundary. For whatever reason, Kupp and Nacua were not there, and he was sitting on the boundary on DeMarcus Robinson. Like, no adjustment from DeMarcus Covington or this defensive coaching staff to put Christian Gonzalez on one of those two guys. Who knows? The game was 28-22, like you said, the score indicates it was closer than it really was, given how Stafford was just dismantling the Patriots defense. Who knows? They kept it close. You take one of those touchdowns away. Who knows? So, like, that lack of adjustment put DeMarcus Covington right at the forefront for me as somebody that I would be calling to be replaced. I put that even ahead of Alex Van Pelt right now, because despite the lack of creativity and ingenuity in the Patriots offense this year, he has deserved some credit for where Drake May is currently, because he's light years ahead of where I thought he was going to be. You and I were sitting here saying, don't put him in at all this year. And, you know, we were wrong on that. I mean, this has been great. And it's actually made Patriots football exciting and watchable this season, despite the losing of all the games. It's like, okay, well, if the kid comes in, he plays well, and they lose, and he makes a mistake or two that may cost them the game, fine, can live with that. It was an enjoyable experience. But that to me was probably the biggest, like, oh my goodness, like, look out. That said, for them to be in the position where they were at the end of the game to have a chance to win it, and just a simple miscommunication between the quarterback and the receiver resulted in that bad interception. It looked worse, but it was like clearly Douglas and May were not on the same page as to where that route was going. I mean, if Douglas was expecting what Drake May was there, that's probably a completion, or at least at the worst, an incomplete pass. So it was good to see Kendrick Bourne get back involved this week. He had a very effective week for the Patriots. You know, the leading receiver, like you said, the touchdown reception, seeing a big boy catch a touchdown, Viridian Lowe catching a touchdown in the red zone is always nice to see. And I'm always looking around, hey, did somebody screw up? Did he forget to report he was ineligible? Nope, he didn't. It was a great play.
Apparently, it's only the fourth time in Patriots history that a lineman scored a touchdown for them. Really? I found it interesting. I didn't. Yeah. I mean,
Vrabel.
Well, no. Well, Vrabel's a linebacker, but like for a lineman, the only other lineman I remember scoring a touchdown on a design play was Nate Shoulder in the AFC Championship. Yep. But other than that, that was kind of cool to see our fatties get some recognition. A fat yeah. man touchdown. What was it, Madden from The Replacements? You always want to see a fat man touchdown.
Yeah. I mean, especially for somebody like Viridian Lowe, who we were really concerned about coming into the season, he's played pretty well. He's played pretty well at the tackle position there, and it was nice to see him get in. He was kind of rewarded for it. Another thing that was interesting, and I just heard this on the radio today, you know, the Marcus Jones got in on offense in this one and was handed the ball and ran for a couple of yards. But I don't know. I didn't vet this, so it was just what I was hearing on talk radio on my way home from work this afternoon. Marcus Jones had to tell them, hey, I can play offense too. You could put me in on a play. Alex Van Pelt, I think, is on record saying that. It's like, dude, they did it. One of the most memorable plays of the Patriots offense of the last 5 years at a game I was in attendance for was the swing pass to Marcus Jones. He took it to the house. How do you not know that was used in the past? Like, that's some ineptitude right there. And that for me, not Alex Van Pelt's fault so much as it is Jerod Mayo's fault, because he was here. he was here for something like that. So like, I'll chalk it up. Maybe a rookie thing. He's got to learn maybe a little bit there as a rookie head coach. Like, okay. But like, dude, you're not doing a lot to make me like feel confident about you going forward here. Like that's stuff you should have picked up on and should have at least watched film on at some point in the offseason, or remembered the fact that it had happened. The guy is such a dynamic athlete, especially on punt returns. Get the guy in space. He can make a play. He can make a few guys miss. And next thing you know, he's going to the house. So yeah, I agree with you. This game felt like a step back in terms of the whole team. I thought Drake May, I think it was a career high passing yards. I thought he looked really, really good in this game up until that, you know, that last throw where they were not on the same page. It was like, dude, like I went into that drive. I'm thinking like, hey, there's a legitimate chance that he could do this. There's a legitimate chance that they could do this. And it was a miscommunication, of course, that, you know, ended that threat. But again, my watchability factor and me judging a good Patriots game versus a bad Patriots game is watching Drake May's progression. I was, again, impressed by the kid this year. I don't care about the draft position. You know, you bring up the draft position, you're going to bash me. Oh, you want them to win meaningless games and you ruin the draft position. That's not what it is for me this year. For me, it's get the kid some confidence. Let him win some games. So going into the next year, you're showing that your culture and what you're trying to build actually has some merit and can work. You did the tanking last year. They're going to end up with a top 10, arguably probably a top 5 pick this year, regardless of that. Let's see some memorable wins for Drake May. Last week, the defense did a lot of the work. Drake May did play very well in that game last week as well. But let's see him. I want to see him lead one of these comeback drives in the last 2 minutes this year. Just, again, confidence going into next season, because obviously this team does need to add talent and to help him out. Offensive line, wide receivers, and all that. And real quick, before we go to our sponsors and our ad break here, I want to touch on a point you brought up about, you know, spreading the ball out, you know, and him being forced to do that this year because there is no blue chip target on the offensive side. I think that is a great skill for a rookie quarterback to learn. You know, you bring up Tom Brady, we're not comparing him to Tom Brady, but like, that's what Tom Brady did early in his career. And then when he did get the actual talent and the actual weapons, it was maximized because they're blue chip talent, he knows he doesn't always have to throw the ball to that one spot. And I think that's a skill for a young quarterback to learn very, very early could pay dividends down the road. And that's an aspect of this in the lack of talent at wide receiver that I really didn't consider or think about until you mentioned it, where you talk about spreading the ball out and, you know, being forced to look first read, second read, third read, dump off to the check down, learning that early rather than just hyper-focusing on one target from that mental game and the mental game standpoint could go a long way down the road. But I digress. Before we get into our picks for next week, we're going to take a quick pause, a quick break, hear from the sponsors. Again, we're brought to you by Fans First Sports Network. So be sure to check them out. And yeah, we'll be right back. All right, and we're back. Thanks for thanks to all our great sponsors out there for making all of this possible for us to come on here and ramble about our sports takes, especially the Patriots. It's a good venting session for us. So we appreciate all that they do for us. Hogan, you ready to get into some picks?
I suppose. I know I went, what? I think I went 0-3 last week, so I don't know really know if I want to do any more picks at this point, considering I've been 0-3, what, a few weeks now in this season, which is never a bueno thing. It's funny, because I remember I took the Ravens last week, and they were -3, and when they lost by 2, I was like, oh, I hit on that one, and I'm going, oh, wait a minute, it's -3, not +3, idiot, so you're not even close. I'm like, oh, fantastic, and then yeah, I went to bed, woke up, and saw that I lost the other two, and I was like, "All right, well, screw football this weekend. I don't give a crap at this point." What'd you do? You went 2-1.
2-1. I lost the Patriots. I lost the Patriots. Yeah. Won the Broncos covered, and I forget the last one at this point. But yeah, and I believe our good friend Manish was also 2-1 last week as well. And you know,
so de facto that leaves him in the lead, me in the basement, you nipping at his heels per usual. So
well, be sure to check us out on the socials. We'll have that graphic up for this week in the coming days once we once we get everything finalized and ready to go. But Hogan, you're going to start us off. You're in the basement. I want you nailing your picks first, because you, even though you're in the basement, picked your games first this week. So you better not go 0-3.
Yeah, let's hope not. But I don't know. I don't have a ton of confidence because the teams I'm rolling with have let me down before. But I'm starting with the game that is happening tonight as of this recording. And that is, of course, on the Thursday Night Football, where the Pittsburgh Steelers, leading that AFC North division there, are taking on their division rivals, the inept of all inept teams, Cleveland Browns, who are sitting in the basement at 2-8 there. They're going to Cleveland. Pittsburgh is 3.5-point favorites. I like Pittsburgh to take care of business because last week, like I said, I took the Ravens, and the Ravens, you know, they didn't get spanked by the Steelers, but the Steelers shocked me with how much they shut down the Ravens. And I know this could be a trap game for them on Thursday night, short turnaround for Cleveland, but I don't think famous Jameis is going to be slinging anything besides interceptions tonight. So give me the Pittsburgh Steelers -3.5. And then for my next game there, you rocked with them last week. You just touched on them, the Broncos there. They are battling not the Oakland Raiders. They're battling the Vegas Raiders. I always have to remind myself of that every single time. It's like last week I was talking about the Rams, and I'm like, St. Louis. Nope. L.A. Rams, dummy. All right. Anyway, back on track. We're talking about the Broncos taking on the Vegas Raiders. Again, a 6-5 Broncos team. I think it's shocked a lot of people so far this year with what they've been able to do with a spry rookie, if you can call him that, Bo Nix, because he seemed like he was in college forever there, but he's doing some magical things out there for those guys. They should have beat the Chiefs the other week, and they're still doing pretty decent there. Defense looks really good. Raiders are just falling apart at the seams, and I'm taking the Broncos -6.5 for my second pick. For my last pick, this one, obviously our new rule for our listeners out there, if you haven't heard it, we have to pick an upset. And this was a tough week. This was a tough week to look through and see who I was going to take with an upset there. But looking through, I'm going on a whim here, and I'm going with the San Francisco 49ers, who are traveling to Lambeau Field to take on the Green Bay Packers. And I have the 49ers. I believe I have them at +2.5. Is that what I got them at? I got them at +2.5, which again feels like a very, very dangerous game because the 49ers are coming off a last second loss there to the Seattle Seahawks. They let me down last week, and Green Bay obviously had that big win against the Chicago Bears, who we talked about where they had that blocked field goal right there at the end. So Green Bay, I think, is due for a loss, and the 49ers are due for a win. They got too much talent with the 49ers. The fact that they're 5-5, that Super Bowl hangover is absolutely drooped all over them at this point. The Packers look as scary and dangerous as any team in the NFC North there, not named Detroit, who looks like they're just going to run away with the NFC at this point. But give me the 49ers in the upset of the Green Bay Packers. And those are my three picks this week.
All right. You better hope for better than an 0-3 performance this week, or else all that trash talking you did to me in the first week we started this, when you went 3-0 and I went 0-3, it's coming out. It's going to come out.
I can't get any worse than I did last week. So that's where we're at. I can maintain, or I can get better. That's at least my ceiling right now. So let's hope for the best.
There you go. I'm going to start off staying in the NFC North. I'm going to start off. I got the Vikings -3.5 in a NFC North showdown with the Chicago Bears. The NFC North is an absolutely fascinating division this year, in my opinion. Just looking at the standings with Detroit, obviously the wagon that they are, they're not pulling away from that division because of the talent of the Minnesota Vikings and the Green Bay Packers. Vikings are one game behind them, and they're playing very well. Sam Darnold has been a very nice surprise for that team up there. And, you know, the Chicago Bears are starting to fall, which I think, like we just talked on when we were talking about with the Patriots, the fact that they have 4 wins is actually kind of surprising. And, you know, they're in the midst of the coach is on the massive hot seat. They lose a game in a heartbreaking fashion to the Packers last week. I expect their decline to continue. And I expect the Vikings to continue to do what they've been doing. And that, you know, the next Lions-Vikings matchup is going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. I am fascinated by that division this year. So I like the Vikings to keep rolling. So let me go with them -3.5. The next, I have our good friend Manish's Philadelphia Eagles -3 against the Los Angeles Rams. Obviously, we saw what the Los Angeles Rams did last week to the Patriots. We also talked about them. with Matthew Stafford having an absolutely glorious day at passing the ball, 4 touchdowns. Don't like that to continue. I like the way that the Eagles are playing right now. They're coming off a Thursday night win against their division foe, the Commanders. Kind of put them back in their place, unfortunately for me, because I'm trying to become a Washington Commanders stan on this podcast because I like what Jaden Daniels has been doing, but they kind of got put in their place. I think the Eagles, it's the Eagles' division to lose in the NFC East. I like them to continue that against the Rams, who have kind of been up and down this year. And, you know, the Patriots, like we said, we know what they are. And that's why I don't read too much into that victory last week. They still surrendered 22 points to the Patriots. So Eagles -3 versus the Los Angeles Rams, and our my underdog pick, a team that, you know, I've been kind of starting to get kind of higher on with as the season has progressed. I like what they're doing there. And that's the Los Angeles Chargers. They are on the road against the Ravens on Monday night. They're 3-point underdogs. I'm taking them plus the 3 points. The Ravens obviously coming off a hard loss last week against the Steelers, where the Steelers kind of asserted themselves, much to my surprise from what I said at the beginning of the season and on this podcast. They're asserting themselves in that AFC North. So the Ravens are always one of those teams where you don't know what you're going to get with them. But I like what the Chargers and Jim Harbaugh are doing there. Their defense has been pretty good this year. They're, you know, top 10 in most team statistical categories on defense, you know, in terms of yards allowed and all that, points allowed, et cetera. I like what they're doing, and I like that to continue. Huge fan of J.K. Dobbins fantasy-wise, so please keep giving him the ball and don't share the carries with Gus Edwards. Also, the return of those two, Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins, both former Raiders, so I'm hoping that they gash their former team. So that's where I got Eagles -3, Vikings -3.5, and the Los Angeles Chargers +3.
So I was going to say, just bet on a Harbaugh and you'll be fine.
Harbaugh Bowl.
2.0.
Imagine that. It's the AFC title game. Imagine that.
Oof. Well, they can't meet up in the Super Bowl this time, so we can't cry about mom having the lights turned off to help the one guy come back in the Super Bowl there.
Exactly. So you got anything else you want to touch on today? It's going to be a shorter episode this week, given everything we've got going on outside with work and everything. You got anything else you want to touch on?
No, just real quickly, I want to go back to a Patriots discussion where you were talking about Jerod Mayo and kind of his coaching ineptitude. Where do you find it interesting the fact that he was de facto the defensive coordinator for the last few years and Belichick's last year is his tenure here? Are you discouraged at all with the defense, the way that they've been playing, the way that Mayo should be coaching them? At this point, for me, and this is the last thing I want to touch on, but the last thing for me is like, I don't understand what Mayo is doing with this team, if that makes sense. Like he's the head coach, but you don't see him coaching on the sidelines. You don't see him talking to players. And I know they don't show him a ton during the game, but like how often do we see clips of Belichick throwing iPads or smashing notebooks or whatever and walking over to the defensive linemen telling them to do their jobs? It's like every time they show Mayo on the sidelines, he's kind of just like stoic, just standing there like, oh yeah, I'm here at a football game. And it's like you talked about how Covington hasn't been able to really coach the defense or make the adjustments. What the hell is Mayo doing? Like I agree with you. I go back to Van Pelt where it's like, okay, he has been doing a better job when everybody was calling for his head with the Jacoby show early on in the season, where I think he's done a great job with the progression of Drake May. But I just go back to what the hell is Jerod Mayo doing? What is his job? I know he's a head coach, but what the hell is his job at this point? I mean, you got anything?
You nailed it. I was going to hit on it like before you did it, but like I never see him actually coaching up players on the sideline. You remember when Bill Belichick was here? He's a CEO head coach. So that's why I think what Mayo's trying to emulate. But most of the broadcasts, they'd be showing Bill Belichick talking to a unit, talking to a certain player, showing them the paper or the tablet. I don't see Jerod Mayo doing that. Every time you look at him, he just looks pissed off and he looks like he's just complaining about something. So I'm like, yeah, there's definitely some concern there. I'm more concerned about DeMarcus Covington because he was a Belichick guy. He's been here, and he was very talked up a lot. He was talked up quite a bit on the defensive side of the ball, and his play calling, you know, the ill-timed zero blitz, the, you know, all that stuff. It just, it's not coming together. And this is for a team returning largely the same group from last season. And, you know, you're getting, you know, more out of players like Keon White, but you're not getting the same result. Obviously they lost Jabril Peppers. He was a big part of the defense. You know, Jawan Bentley was a big part of the defense, but not to cause this kind of drop off, in my opinion. And, you know, I have more of a gripe with not necessarily the way they played, but the lack of adjustments that they've been making. And when you don't adjust, I talked on it when I talked about the Rams game. Why didn't you adjust and put Christian Gonzalez, your best corner, on one of their best receivers while they were absolutely eating you alive? That, to me, is something. Rod Mayo, who was the de facto defensive coordinator last year, he didn't call the plays, but he was heavily involved in running that defense. Why is he not making that decision and stepping in? That's where I sit.
I get so aggravated watching it sometimes because it's just the adjustments are not being made. And again, it's Mayo was a defensive player. He was a defensive captain. He was a defensive coach. And again, you go back to Gonzalez should be on their best weapon no matter what, and just across the board there. But then on top of that too, they're healthier this year than they have been in previous seasons. And I know we lost Bentley, and obviously Barmore is finally coming back, which is amazing to see, by the way. I don't think we touched on that. So the fact that he even got in the game last week is phenomenal. So I can't wait to see him get involved more with the defensive line there. But the fact is your corners are like the healthiest they've ever been. Marcus Jones has been healthy all season. Jonathan Jones has been healthy all season. Gonzalez has been healthy all season. Kyle Duggar's banged up, or he's, you know, a shell of himself half the time on the field. But like you have Taki Taki who's out there, Mapu, and like you have the guys that have been in the system that should be excelling. And you just see this defense either get gashed by the run every week or just get torched. And I have a bad, bad feeling about this upcoming game with Tua being healthy. He's undefeated against the Patriots, by the way. I don't know if you know that.
I do.
He's undefeated against the Patriots. He's got Tyreek Hill, who's healthy. He's got Jalen Waddle healthy. He's got Odell, who's finally healthy. Like,
A-chain.
Who's Gonzalez? Gonzalez can't be in three places at once. I have a bad feeling about this game coming up. That's just the fact that it's in Miami. Good night.
House of horrors for the Patriots.
Miami miracle this time needed. It'll be a Miami slaughter fest down there, the way that the defense hasn't been able to do anything. So
it'll be interesting to see. Like I said, don't care about the result. I just want Drake May to continue to climb. That's it. So it'll be interesting. I'm very much looking forward to tonight's game and, you know, next on Sunday and Monday. I'm amped. I love Sundays in November and December. You know, we didn't really touch on it at all, but obviously watching that Bills KC game and finally seeing KC lose was awesome. I was a man of my word. I texted my Bills buddies. I'm like, I'm circling the wagons today. I'm doing it. Now I'm back to hating the Bills. That's it. until they have to play in the playoffs, because I say to myself, guess what? They beat them in the regular season again. They always do that, and they always wet their pants in the playoffs. So let's see what happens. But that was good to see. That was just a highlight from last week. But let's get ready for Thursday night, Sunday, Monday night football. I'm pumped. I'm ready. How about you? You ready?
I'm ready. And I'm ready for Thanksgiving next week. I have work off. So hopefully I will be back to my regularly scheduled programming of not sounding like I'm dying over here. I mean, like I said, lack of sleep and everything else. I'm ready to zonk out. But yeah, Thanksgiving football and everything else. I can't wait, buddy.
Let's go. Let's go. Thank you all for tuning in to this shortened episode of Between the Tackles. I'm Bird, your host. And for Hogan, we hope you have a fantastic week. Peace.
Later.